This is The Guardian.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
High inflation, eye-watering mortgage rates, and yet more stories of Tory sleaze.
Nobody forced you to go into that room with that young woman. Nobody forced you to stick cocaine up your nose. And nobody forced you to drink copious quantities of that very strong Japanese whiskey.
No, they certainly didn't.
With three and potentially four by-elections on the horizon, has the Conservative Party any chance of convincing people it's on the right track? This week, we've come to my adopted hometown of Frome in the southwest of England to see what the upcoming by-election here might tell us about the current state of the country.
Oh, I try not to look ahead at the moment. If I don't look ahead, I don't worry.
But when it comes to voting for real change, are people better off voting with their head or their heart? And can anyone really make a difference? I'm John Harris, and you're listening to Politics Week the UK for The Guardian.
We're spending the day in Frome in Somerset, where there's soon going to be a by-election triggered by the Tory MP David Warburton resigning in disgrace. Now, across England as a whole, I guess we tend to think about politics as being about the battle between Labour and the Tories, but here it's slightly different. The main challenger, the only challenger, some say, to the Tories, any realistic chance of beating them, are the Lib Dems. Now, this is one of three, and in all likelihood four, by-elections happening pretty much simultaneously. And it's all happening, the campaign, which is sort of getting going already, is happening against a backdrop which seems to me to be comprised of two things politically. One is sort of sleaze and scandal, which is represented by what happened to the sitting MP here, but also all the nonsense involving Boris Johnson, which never seems to stop. And the other thing is something people feel much more viscerally, I think, which is the cost of living crisis, rising prices, mortgages, rents. You know, like, people everywhere, loads and loads of voters here are really feeling the cost of living crisis. And I think, you know, if they pay attention to the by-election, they kind of want clear answers from the parties about all that stuff.
Just up from the main road through Frome is a pedestrianised shopping street where we meet two women in their late 60s.
What do you think about your David Warburton, the fella who was the MP up to now?
Appalling. But I'm really glad we got a by-election. Yes. I know which way I'm voting.
So let's take each one in turn. You feel strongly that he is in the wrong in various ways.
He hasn't thought about his constituents here at all. At all.
Well, we've been unrepresented for the last,
18 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't seen him for a year.
No. Not only should he stand down, but he should be held accountable for.
So the by-election now, do you know how you're going to vote in it?
Oh, yes.
Go on.
Well, Green. I'm a socialist.
In 2019, the Greens came fourth here, right?
Yeah.
And so it's likely to be a two-way battle between the Lib Dems and the Tories. But if it's close and you voted Green, you might let the Tory in.
I'm 68. I have been voting every election, local or national. I have never voted for the Tory party. That's the only ones I've never voted for. But in all that time, I have never once had a local MP that I've voted for in Parliament. So I've never been represented anyway.
But isn't it better to just not have a Tory and be certain of that and just use your vote to make sure you don't have a Tory?
That is debatable, but I have a feeling we won't this time.
The Lib Dems will win and therefore you've got space to vote Green.
Yeah, you could put it that way, I think.
Dangerous.
But I don't care. I've got to vote where my heart is.
The political question we always ask people is how life is at the minute, you know.
Tough.
Go on.
Well, it really, for me personally, it's very tough. I'm about to lose my home quite seriously because, I mean, my husband works. In fact, he's held down two jobs for 20 plus years. But for reasons I'd rather not go into, I mean, we've always paid our mortgage, paid all our bills, but we're losing our home. And for someone of my age now to try and apply to the council for accommodation is just an absolute joke. Because, there is nothing out there. B, while my husband's still working, it wouldn't apply to us. And yet we've paid a full stamp all our working lives, and we've got nothing back for it at all.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so...
That's quite a common experience now, increasingly. Just the sheer impossibility of housing for people.
Oh, it's dreadful.
Cross the Jenson Button Bridge, named after a famous son of Froome, and you'll soon find the local library, where we spoke to yet another resident.
We're journalists. We work for The Guardian, the newspaper. Do you live in Froome or thereabouts? How do you feel about the by-election that's going to happen?
Pretty ambivalent, really.
Are you?
Yeah. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing, because we've been waiting for him to jump. And, it'll be interesting.
And do you know how you're going to vote?
Not really. I shall read the stuff and see, but probably Lib Dem, I should think.
Well, have you ever voted Conservative in the past?
Very often.
Very often?
Yes, oh yeah.
And how do you feel about the Conservative Party right now?
How do I feel about it? A bit disappointed.
What are you disappointed about?
Well, I suppose mainly the Boris thing. Well, all of them, really. Not Rishi. Give him a chance, I think. Poor guy.
Yeah. And if Britain has a change of government quite soon, how will you feel about that?
I think it's got to happen. And there's obviously got to be Labour, so I'm not so sure about Starmer, but we'll see.
And just last question, why has it got to happen? Why have you got that sense?
Because I think that people are fed up, you know, and they just something's got to happen. They won't go.
This is drawing to a close. This era is largely over.
It's looking like it now. This might be the nail in the coffin.
Very good.
Take care.
Thank you.
That's the sort of people pollsters are really interested in, right? Because she'd voted Tory a lot, she said, and she was quite charitable to Rishi Sunak, but there's this absolutely irresistible sense that the Tories' time is drawing to a close. The curtains are being drawn, you know. It's finishing. Excuse me. Sorry to disturb you. We're journalists. We work for The Guardian, the newspaper.
Okay. This is Kylie, who's a care worker.
Okay. Do you live in Froome?
Yes.
Can we talk to you for a minute? Rude question. How old are you?
33.
Are you? How's life at the minute?
It's all right. I struggle sometimes with everything, but yeah, not too bad.
And your housing situation? I only ask you that because everyone knows about interest rates and rents going up and all that.
Yes, I'm council at the moment, but my rent's gone up. So, hard work, but you do it, you've got to pay it, you just want to live somewhere.
Right. And sort of the monthly business or weekly business of making ends meet? How's that?
Hard work. I mean, I work in care, so I'll, you know, wages aren't great there, but I just probably make ends meet.
Just about, yeah. Right.
With a child as well, so it's quite hard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. How many kids you got?
Just one.
Right. And say when you were 25, did you think that was how you would be living in your early 30s?
No. I had my daughter when I was 25, and things were all right there. You know, we had money left over every week. Now we're working to live, aren't we? So that's what it is. Yeah.
How's the town doing? What's your sense of it as a place to live?
A lot of shops are closing, so there's not really much in Froome. Some of the nice shops that we do have are too expensive, especially up the high streets. But I don't really shop much in town because you don't have the money to.
Yeah, all the so-called artisan shops and all that are expensive, right?
I've never been in there. I put my head in once and I've walked away.
Wow, okay. Do you pay much attention to politics?
Not really, no. I don't really understand much because it just makes me angry, really, with this.
Do you know about the local MP?
I heard something in the paper about stuff, but I don't really know much about him. I've never met him. I've never seen him.
Right, okay. He's resigned. He's announced he's standing down. And we're going to have a by-election here where we get to choose a new MP.
Yeah, it's probably the right thing.
You going to vote?
I don't know, really know. I don't think that there's much that they can do for the town at the moment.
Do you have a party that you've tended to vote for down the years?
I've normally gone for Labour. I've never, ever voted Conservative.
Right, okay.
I just found that whilst we've had a Conservative government, it's not really, it gets worse every year.
And you work in care, you said?
Yeah.
What kind of care?
Residential, so a care home.
I've been there. Older people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've been there 4 years.
Excuse me, asking how much you get an hour?
It's just gone up to $10.70.
Wow, okay.
Which I can get more working in Wetherspoons, to be honest. But it's the job I want to do, so I accept it.
Wow. And were you working in a care home during the pandemic?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
How was that?
Quite hard. It gets very emotional even talking about it now. Yeah, it was. We had no help. No staff, because everyone was sick. So no pay rises, no incentive to keep going. And I had to look after my daughter through the pandemic, so it was, yeah, it wasn't great.
You still feel that? You still feel you're sort of living in the
aftermath? Oh, yeah, I still feel like we're troubled by it.
Well, out of the pandemic, into inflation and all that. Yeah, one damn thing after another, right?
There's people like me who worked through the pandemic, and now we're struggling.
And how do you feel about the future?
Oh, I try not to look ahead at the moment. If I don't look ahead, I don't worry. If that makes sense.
God, what a thing, though.
Yeah.
In the sense that we should be able to look ahead and feel some degree of optimism, right?
I mean, my daughter's like, I can't wait to grow up. And I'm like, you really don't. You really don't want to right now, because I don't know what her future holds, you know?
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it, looking ahead?
It is, and I don't want her to feel hunger or finding money to look for food. And, you know, I want her to realise that to work, you know, you get nice things, but at the moment we're working just to live, so...
Big change, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
While the Conservatives and Labour have not yet chosen their candidates for the upcoming by-election, the hot contender to take the seat from the Tories is the Lib Dems' Sarah Dyke. She's been her party's candidate for just over a year. She's a councillor for Blackmore Vale, about half an hour from here. We bump into her and her press officer on the way to the cafe where we've arranged to meet.
I think I probably do.
Not like normal political reporting. We have a bit of local goss as we walk. I met Duncan when we were campaigning against having a Tesco here when I first moved to Frome.
Yeah, and he was really passionate about that.
Yeah, he was one of the first people I met when we moved here.
And how long ago was that?
2009.
Okay, yeah. Oh, you're an old school Frome then.
See, that's good. No one's ever said that before. I still feel like an incomer.
Yeah, no. There's been loads of people moved in, which is great, because there's the vibrancy and a real kind of feeling of progressiveness in Frome.
Yeah, I worry about the divide a bit in the town economically.
That's very
house
true.
House prices and all.
Yeah, yeah. There's real pockets of deprivation right across the county. I mean, it feels like a very affluent area on the surface, but it doesn't take very much to dig down a little deeper.
We're in the garden of the Hub Nub, which used to be the United Reformed Church and is now a lovely cafe and bakery and community space. So you've been the confirmed Lib Dem candidate for quite a while, right?
That's right. I was selected last year in May.
He's a David Warburton supporter. He's still very distressed. Don't go, David. So you're faced, superficially anyway, with a 19,000 Conservative majority here, right? So
right.
From the outside, people would think this was a hell of a big ask for you to win. But in point of fact, it's maybe not that big an ask, really. Things are sort of more leaning your way than they appear.
Yeah, I mean, it's still going to be a challenge. We need to work for every vote. And I've been out working on the doors and talking to residents for the last year since I was originally selected, because I want people to know that there's a change that is available to them. And they're telling me over and over again that they do want change and they are going to support me to be that change. And yes, of course, it's a huge majority, but things have changed an awful lot since the last election.
What's changed?
People are hugely frustrated with the lack of representation that they have. They've not had an MP representing them in Parliament now for well over a year, and rightly, they're frustrated.
And more generally, though, I mean, they're frustrated, it seems to me, with the general state of things. You know, this is quite a propitious moment for a by-election to drop, in the sense that people are really feeling the pinch.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there certainly is that toxicity around the Conservative Party, and particularly our MP in Somerton and Frome, or our outgoing MP in Somerton and Frome. But yes, the challenges nationally are really hitting people, and people are suffering.
So the Lib Dems have roots here, right?
They do.
You've got councillors here, yep. And Lib Dems run Somerset County Council, yep. Now and all of that.
Yeah, that's right. We've got 61 Liberal Democrat councillors on the new Unitary Authority, which is the biggest Lib Dem group in the country. And obviously we've got a strong legacy of MPs in this neck of the woods.
I have voted Liberal Democrat somewhat tactically quite often in the past, right? But I had a hell of a fright in 2010 when I did that, and what I got in return was the Lib Dems partnering with the Tories in coalition and being the handmaidens of austerity and the awful period that we're still in the midst of, right? So if I was faced with the prospect of voting Lib Dem again, what can you say to reassure me that I'm not voting for the same setup that did that to me last time?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there will be no PACs. I'm working for every vote that I can in Somerton and Frome to be able to represent everybody in this constituency, because what they haven't had is that representation from a MP, and it's something that they deserve to have that representation. So that is my focus right now.
Okay, but are you a different party now to the party you were in 2010? In the sense that you look back on that now and think a lot of things went wrong there and lessons were learned and you wouldn't do anything similar again?
So I think everybody knows that there's lessons learned, you know, but what we need to do is to assure people that we have a very strong voice, and we need to make sure that we get as many MPs in Parliament so that we can be a strong voice and really show strong opposition to that current government.
If I vote Liberal Democrat, I'm interested to know, in terms of particular issues, what kind of push that I get in what particular direction, right? So on things like the cost of living crisis, which you've talked to loads of people about today, right? They're having a terrible time with inflation, rising rents, rising interest rates and all that. What's your answer to that as someone who's campaigning in a by-election?
Yeah, so the cost of living crisis is impacting all of us at the moment, has been for some time, hasn't it? So we've led the way on so many policies, and we've led pioneering ideas around the cost of living crisis, the windfall tax, for example. The Tories have adopted elements of it, but it's just a partial approach, which really isn't helping the majority of people.
Okay. What about mortgages? People's sheer month-to-month living costs on that score.
Yeah, I don't really know much about that.
Also. But the housing situation in Frome, and in Somerton and Frome more widely, how is it here for people?
Well, I tell you what. I mean, this is just us thinking out loud. We have got a massive issue with the housing crisis around not being able to build houses at the moment, purely because we've got a Ramsar catchment area, which is a very area around kind of sensitive around phosphates, and so there's a restriction on building. So there is a restriction on building in large parts of Somerset that are within that catchment. Frome isn't within that catchment, so is taking a lot of pressure around speculative planning applications. So I could maybe talk around something like that.
I suppose people have an idea from the outside that Somerton and Frome, because it's rural and the parts of it that get attention because they're fashionable, right? Like Bruton and Frome, two towns that are always in Sunday supplements and all that. And people have an idea from the outside that this is quite an affluent part of the world, right? Mm. And that's not the whole truth at all, is it?
Mm. Yeah, there's, you know, there is obviously that it does have a look of affluence in the area. I mean, it's a beautiful area. We're very, very lucky to live in this part of the world. But there are pockets of deprivation, and you know, there's.
It's okay. Take your time.
Blocking.
Take your time, don't worry.
Excuse me, because I'm just having my coffee as.
Don't worry.
I shouldn't have had the extra shots.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's just because I've drank coffee far too quickly, because I haven't had a coffee since about 7 o'clock this morning.
The coffee is strong as well.
Right. What do you want to know? Something is a subject that I don't know anything about. I'm not going to be able to give you an answer for very sensibly.
On the sort of general economic state of the constituency?
Well, I can talk. Yeah, I mean, there's pockets of deprivation. I mean, what else, you know, what can we say on that, really? I don't feel that I'm prepared at all for this, Amy. It's all getting a little bit above my station, sorry.
Well, you're about to stand in a by-election.
Yeah.
You're going to get much, much. Yeah. You're going to get much, yeah, much more exacting questioners than us. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, this is day two of.
Just get your glass of water.
Yeah.
You can stop it.
Right, I'm a bit thrown now because we weren't, you know, we weren't here to gotcha anyone and ask particularly troubling questions, right? They were all quite open questions, but one day after the Lib Dems campaign launch, their candidate is very shaky and hasn't got her answers to pretty obvious things worked out. I feel sort of sorry for her to some extent, but, you know, this is a bit like turning out for a football match without your boots on, unfortunately. And, you know, the media is going to be crawling all over this place very, very soon. And they really will be out to trip people up and all that. And that's not a, you know, a matter of dirty tricks. That's a matter of accountability, actually, just to, you know, scrutiny and make sure that the right candidate gets it. Personally, I don't want the Tories to win, but you might need a better worked out campaign pitch than that if you're going to beat them.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're getting your nomination papers signed today. You're in a rush to get your nomination papers in.
Yeah, we've got to get them in by Friday. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to go down to the Cheese and Grey and I was going to get some people to sign them down there.
Okay, should we meet you at the Cheeser in about 10 minutes then?
Yeah.
Okay, right, I'll see you at the Cheeser in about 10. Okay.
Okay, all right.
All right, see you then. Thanks, Martin. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Right. That was Martin Dimmery, who's the Green Party candidate in this by-election. Who came fourth in 2019. The Green Party came fourth in 2019, but they say they're running with an intention to win, as unlikely as that may sound. Martin is a county councillor here, and sort of he's quite a big figure in local life. He used to run the Froome Festival, and he's coming to get his nomination papers signed to the Cheese and Grain, the town's venue, where Paul McCartney played last year, and we're going to go meet him there and do a quick interview.
How are you? I'm not going to shake hands. Because I've just been clearing up after the dogs.
Right. Martin, you stood here in 2019, did you not?
I stood in 2017 for the county. I didn't stand in the district once.
But it was the parliament for the parliamentary constituency.
No, I stood for the EU in the EU
so
elections.
This is your first time.
It's my first time. Yeah.
Candidate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about maybe Froome specifically and the constituency more widely. Froome is quite fashionable and it gets written about in certain Sunday papers as somewhere where everyone plays the trombone and keeps bees. There's more inequality and deprivation here than people think there is, right?
Yes. This is quite a divided town in as much as there's a lot of people that have moved into the town, and they tend to be people maybe from London or from perhaps Bath or Bristol, professionals. Perhaps they have money and background. It varies from street to street. It's amazing when you door knock how different roads are, and a lot of those people like what was the old heritage houses, the old weavers' cottages. So those areas have become really gentrified. On the other hand, with the price of housing, there's a lot of people who are left behind, and these tend to be the indigenous people who've lived here, whose families go back here generations, finding they're having to move out to other nearby towns because they can't afford the property prices here. So there is there is quite a shift in the demographic, but there's still a lot of people who live in poverty. And it was one of the worst places in Somerset at one time for poverty.
Right. And you feel that in the town, in the sense that what's happened to Frome in terms of its sort of revival and regeneration seems quite miraculous, but it sometimes leads to this quite uneasy sense that there are some people who are part of that and there are some who aren't. So we met a woman who works in care for like £10.50 an hour, and she said she doesn't go to the so-called artisan shops here because they're too expensive, right? And she's having a hell of a time making ends meet housing wise and all that. And that's, if it's all about trombones and beehives, yeah, right, then all of that gets forgotten. That's the problem.
That's true, although the sort of the thriving art scene does bring in money as well, but it doesn't replace the big industries that have closed in the town.
If I or someone else considers voting Green in this by-election, in terms of the cost of living crisis, say, right, which is the most pressing thing people face, what's your answer? You know, what am I voting for that might help?
You see, with the Green Party, we will make statements like most of the other parties that we'll improve the bus services, we'll improve the National Health Service, we're doing, how will we get the money? I think we're the most honest about where we get the money from. And it will be, you've got to tax the oil industry, you've got to have the windfall tax, you've got to stop people, you know, get offshore accounts. You've got to start doing things like that. We've got to get back in the single market. It's killing industry. It's killing agriculture. We've got to have a Robin Hood tax. We bailed the banks out. Why aren't they paying a bit back? Too much money is draining out.
Housing is a big issue throughout this constituency, right? Because this is what they call a property hotspot now, right? Mm. And people are excluded from housing because of that, because rent's become impossibly expensive, let alone house prices, right? What's the Green Party answer to that problem?
We've got to build more low-cost and social housing. And what we've got to do is be firm with the developers, because this happens again and again. You get a development comes in, it gets outline planning permission, and then the developer turns around and says, oh, well, you know, we were going to put 40% social housing in there. We can't afford that now, because it's much, much more profitable to build a four-bedroom detached house.
Here's the thing, right? And we've spoken to people this morning, some of whom have said this and some haven't. You know the argument. There's only one party here which is going to beat the Tories. The bookies have them at 1-4 on, right? That's the Lib Dems, right? And you might have looked at the odds yourself. The Green Party's odds are put at 100-1, right? You came fourth here in 2019, right?
Yeah.
There is arguably a risk of voting Green here that you will split the anti-Tory vote and let the Tory in. So on that basis, what's your answer?
Right, I've got several answers there. One is it's not a general election anyway. OK, there's going to be a general election maybe in 9 months' time. Yeah, it could be next May. We're not going to get the Tories out with this by-election.
Well, that's like, have a flutter on us, it doesn't matter. Of course it matters. This could be a really fatal blow to Rishi Sunak.
Could it?
Yeah, potentially.
Fatal blow? I don't know. Well, let me put it another way. If you don't agree with that, let me put it another way. And at the risk of sounding arrogant, I was told by the Lib Dems that they were the only party that could beat the Tories here. I've stood in two separate elections, in two different constituencies, in a town which is a third of the whole constituency in terms of population size, has a third of the vote, and I beat the Lib Dems by 30% in both of them. Why would I stand down?
You sincerely think you can do it?
I think we have to persuade people, what you just said, that actually they don't have to vote for the Lib Dems to get them out. They can be brave and vote for the Greens if they want to get the Tories out.
Brilliant. Thanks, Martin.
Okay, thank you.
It's very easy when you're doing political coverage to just speak to people in town centres. But given that housing and the cost of living and all that stuff is so in the foreground in British politics, more than ever, arguably, I think you've also got to go where people live, right? Places where they've bought or are renting houses and all that. Frome, like a lot of places in England, is sort of ringed by new housing developments, right, that are full of so-called starter homes. And that's another reason why the mortgage issue and interest rates and so on is so huge here. Got a little community notice board. Right, this is Southfield Farms. This used to be agricultural land. It's behind the big Asda supermarket, and this is new build housing. These are sort of, semi-detached, relatively compact starter homes. There's lots of for sale signs everywhere. You know, when people want to get on the property ladder and so on, I think this is the first place they look. It's that kind of place. What you tend to find, actually, is starter homes are sort of synonymous with swing voters for some reason. I think because they're younger people and they're more sort of footloose, and so they don't have deep political loyalties, right? It's one of my theories, you know. They'll travel lighter in every sense, and politically as much as anything.
The odd car drives by, but few people are out and about. One woman we do meet is working from home and can't speak to us, but she tells us to talk to her neighbours opposite, one of whom works as an estate agent. We end up speaking to her husband, a project manager who's also working from home.
You know, I switch on the TV or my phone and endlessly hear about the issue of interest rates and how impossible things are getting. Does it feel like that to you?
I think in the present climate, the increase in rates has definitely dampened the housing market, for example. My wife is a local estate agent, and right. recently the number of viewings and sales in the area has dropped dramatically compared to a year ago.
Wow. And that's in Froome, which up to now has been considered a property hotspot, right?
People are viewing, but they're making offers well under value of the property at the moment. And the perception seems to be that properties are falling in price, but a lot of agents are putting the values on the higher value to get them on the books.
Okay. Has your mortgage gone up? Mine has. Hugely.
We were very fortunate. We moved 12 months ago. We made the decision to fix ours for 5 years. So I think we're okay for a reasonable amount of time.
Do you follow politics at all much?
Nationally and local to a certain degree. There's obviously some interesting news the past 28, 48 hours with David Warburton leaving us.
Yeah. What do you make of that?
I'm glad he's gone. I think he should have gone sooner.
Have you voted Conservative in the past?
I have in the past, yes, a long time ago. But this time around, most definitely will not be a Conservative vote in this area.
Okay. Do you know who you'll vote for in the by-election?
I'm minded. I'm not quite sure whether to vote tactically or to vote with my conscience.
Go on, then. And if it was tactically, who would you vote for?
Tactically, I'll look at the polling data before the polling day, but it's looking like Lib Dem.
Okay, and if you went with your heart, so to speak?
At the minute, Keir Starmer will get my vote in the Labour Party.
Do you know what the Lib Dems stand for?
That is the problem I have at the moment.
And what's your opinion of the current government?
I think it's past its best before date.
It's now gone 4 p.m. and the streets start to fill with cars coming back from the school run. We spot 31-year-old mum of three, Zoe, pulling into her driveway and ask her what she makes of the current state of Britain.
Where did you live before?
Still in Froome. So originally Mel's, and then a different house in Froome, and then here.
Okay.
So we're due to remortgage soon, and it's terrifying. You just don't know where you kind of stand anymore. You feel like you don't know whether you can afford to remain living here. It's terrifying.
It's as bad as that.
I think because when we first bought this house, things were in a much better position than they are now. And if you ever wanted to move, we've had this on the market for a year now. We wish to move from here, but we just can't afford to. So we're very much in a position where you do feel like you're stuck, I think. Yeah.
What's your sense of the sort of state of the country in general with that as one sort of part of the picture? Like what the future feels like?
The future's scary, more so for my children and this generation. Because we've had conversations where we spoke about what would you like to do when you're older and where would you like to live and things. But actually the reality is, will they ever be able to afford to move out? Probably not. I mean, the way it is now, will they ever be able to afford a deposit even now? Because it looks like these are going to be at home forever at this rate.
From the outside, you're doing okay, right? You live in a nice new housing development, right? And you're a property owner.
Yes.
And yet you feel that the future looks quite bleak from where you're standing.
I think so, yes, because I feel like you can have these things, but to move forward in life or to move up the ladder is the terrifying part, because the rates are so high and everything is so expensive now that kind of what you have got, you're so grateful for, and you're kind of, you know, happy to kind of stay where you are because it's a lot safer. Every time we do a food shop, that thing's gone up and this thing's gone up. And when you add it all together with three children and pets and everything else to afford, you know, it's scary.
Do you work?
Yes, I do. I work from home.
What do you do?
Accounts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to vote in the by-election?
I'm not sure, because I feel like everything is so out of your control. I feel like, regardless of what your opinion is, I actually feel like it doesn't make much difference anymore. I don't know, I just feel like you don't have a voice anymore.
You've voted in the past, presumably?
I have not voted in the past.
You've never voted?
For that reason, I have not, no.
And how old are you, excuse me asking?
31.
And you've never voted?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, for that reason, I just feel that it's not, that regardless of my vote, I feel like it would never be the favourable vote anyway. I don't know why, I just feel like it's out of our control. I really do.
I think politics has arrived somewhere where sort of orthodoxy is back, right? sort of dull, well-meaning men in suits, really, are in charge again. And what they want to try and tell us is that all the chaos and ferment of the last sort of 7 or 8 years, that's all sort of back in its box. And there's a general election coming, and you make one of these two or three choices, and the country somehow will get put the right way up again. And I don't think people buy that. I think people feel that the Conservatives and the Labour Party and the Lib Dems are not really speaking to the reality of their lives and how hard things are and how uncertain and bleak they feel about the future. And so they feel sort of unsatisfied. So, you know, I don't think any of the public dismay and anger and disconnection as far as politics is concerned, I think that's only receded slightly. It's still there, isn't it? And God knows, if you pick that up in Frome in Somerset, you know, that tells you a lot, doesn't it? Politicians and parties, in the most obvious way, as we've discovered today, very often don't know what to do. They don't even know what to say. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, make sure you subscribe to Politics Weekly UK wherever you get your podcasts, and even better, leave us a review. Next week, we'll be on the by-election trail again in Uxbridge, the former constituency of Alexander Boris de Pfeffel Johnson. This episode was produced by Frankie Toby. The music is by Axel Cacoutier, and the executive producers are Maz Ebtahaj and Nicole Jackson.
This is The Guardian.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How can a people-first approach to higher education transformation improve success? An EY report suggests that taking emotional and psychological factors into account is just as important as the technology. Six factors drive this human-centered approach: leadership, inspiration, care, empowerment, investment, and collaboration. Get these right, and they can more than double an organization's chance of transformation success. Learn more about people-first transformation at theguardian.com/transforming higher education. This message was paid for by EY.